I was looking at this portion of scripture that we're going to look at today, Acts chapter 5, and from verses 17 to the end of the chapter, a lot of folks will just preach the whole section, but I want to break it down for us because there's a lot here, beloved. And today we're going to be looking at verses 17 to 21 of Acts chapter 5. The name of the message is Counted Worthy to Suffer. Counted worthy to suffer. Last week we looked at verses 12 to 16 where the apostles were doing signs and wonders all by the power of God, of course, by the hand of the Lord, did many signs and wonders, and a multitude of people were healed. The sick and those vexed with unclean spirits. And so as we read these portions, and also in verse 14, we see in verse 14 of Acts 5, more importantly, that even more of our brethren were added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. So the Lord is just moving and adding and building, adding. What he's really doing is he's saving his elect. He's saving his elect, those who he's redeemed, beloved. It's amazing. And so let us marvel at God's work amongst sinners. And you know, he's still saving people today. He hasn't stopped. He's still drawing his lost sheep out of the deadness of their sin. Right? He's still at work. My, oh my. It's amazing. Let's read from Acts 5:17 to 21 here. Look at this. So after all these signs and wonders have been done, multitudes have been healed. Multitudes. You think people be jumping up and down? People were vexed with spirits, unclean spirits. They had them cast out. You think the Israelite leaders would be going, "This is amazing. We've never seen anything like this before." But did they do that when Christ was at work? Nope. And they still have the same dead nature, don't they? And look at this. This is an extremely telling verse. Brother Jim, you and I one time on the way out in our Acts study, you said they were losing money. And you're right. They were losing money. They were losing power. They were losing prestige. And they were mad. I'll tell you what. Here's people being added to the Lord, and they're so mad. And how do we know? Well, look at this. Look at this. Then the high priest rose up, and with all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation. We're going to look at what that word means. Indignation. Oh, my. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. They just threw them in the prison with all the other... They didn't put them in anywhere special. They just threw them in the general population of prison. So they're in there with thieves and murderers and all kinds of folks. Right? My, oh my. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said... Now notice doors there is plural. We're going to get to that later on too. That angel opened all the doors to get them from in that prison to outside. And you know what he did after? He closed them. And how do we know? Well, because the next day, those sent by the Sadducees come and they said, the prison's all locked up. And they're gone. The guards are still standing there. And they're gone. I was reading this, I thought, the Lord's got a sense of humor. Here they threw them in jail for the night. Thinking, all those guys, they're gonna sit in that jail, they're gonna be stewing about while we're in jail. The Lord says, sends an angel. Opens the doors right up. Shuts them all back up, takes them outside. And what does he do? Look what he tells them to do. He's got a message too. This angel's got a message. And it's not about himself, right? Because angels are ministering spirits. They minister to God's elect. right? They're sent by God. It says, look at this. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Meaning the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. Go into the synagogue and preach the gospel. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. They were there. As soon as them doors were open, they were there, beloved. They were there. They were ready to go right in. You see that, Brother Brian? They'd be like, we're the first here. We're going to go right in there. It might not have been the first, but they were ready to go, weren't they? They were early in the morning. They were ready. They had to make sure they were going to be there when them doors of the temple opened up. Oh, my. And taught. What did they do? They did as they were commanded to do. Now, the high priest had no idea. But look at this. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate, the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them bought. So here they are. The high priest, they all gather. They probably gather themselves in some fancy room. We're all, oh, yeah, we're going to bring them guys. Yeah, we're going to get them. And so they send to the prison for them. And we're going to now read the next verse. I didn't have it in my notes, but we're going to read the verse next after that. Look at this. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. It was locked up. It was locked up, beloved, still. And the keepers standing without before the doors. All the guards were in their place. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now look at, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted them of them, whereunto this would grow. They're probably like, were you guys drinking last night? Come on. That can't be true. They doubted them. They doubted. But I'll tell you what, isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing, beloved? Isn't he incredible? This is the same sovereign God who keeps us. Do you know that angels are sent as ministering spirits for us? For God's elect? We don't even know. We can't see them, but they're there. Isn't that amazing? Do you know that angels came and ministered to Christ and oh my. My, oh my. So we see in verse 18, let's look at verse 18. These high priests, they were so mad that they sent guards, or they sent their men to go and lay hands upon the apostles. And they were put in a common prison. Why were they thrown into prison? Why? What did they do? They hadn't started any rallies and saying, yeah, we're against the Sadducees, did they? They hadn't said any of that at all. They hadn't said, well, we're against the Romans, leading up. They didn't say anything like that at all. They weren't against any social things. They weren't having a big old rally. They were preaching Christ and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal salvation in and through Christ alone. That's all. They were just preaching the gospel. And you know, I think that if these high priests could have murdered them, they'd have done it. But they couldn't. Number one, they couldn't because every man has an appointed time to die, right? And number two, they feared the people. Because the people would rally up against them. But number one, the most important thing, it's appointed on man wants to die. It wasn't their time, was it? Now, each one of them was going to die down the road, just like us, but only at the appointed time of God. And again, they'd broken no laws. They're not raising a social protest. They're not even crusading against the evils of that day. They're just preaching Christ. They're just preaching Christ. And they were persecuted for that one reason, the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does this do? Well, this plainly exposes man's depravity, right? And man's hatred for the gospel. Natural man's hatred for the gospel. You know, they were preaching salvation's only in Christ, not by anything traditional, not by the Jewish religion, not by the Roman religion, not by the religion of any heathens, only Christ and Him alone. And again, we know because of our study in chapter 4 that they were preaching the resurrection, weren't they? And that went against the Sadducees because the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. My, oh my. But like Peter said, it's better to obey God than man, right? Oh my. They had committed no terrible evil. As a matter of fact, their society had been improved because the Lord saved folks. You know that? You know why? Because we turn away from things we used to do, don't we? I like Gene Harmon said. He goes, God actually improved society that way by saving all them folks. Some of them may have been thieves. Some of them may have been robbers. Some of them may have been prostitutes. Some of them may have been this and that and that and this. And God saved them. My. The only way a human being will change is by the sovereign grace of God. That's the only way. Brian, we were talking about that today. That's the only way that a man will change. Or a woman. Is the sovereign grace of God. So for preaching the gospel, they were persecuted, imprisoned, beaten. We're going to see later on in our study in the next week or two. They were beaten. They were whipped. And they come out of there counting it all joy. That they were persecuted for the cause of Christ. Only the grace of God can do that. Only the grace of God can do that in a man or a woman. And take note of the hardened state of the mind of the high priests and the Sadducees in verse 17. Because it tells us they were filled with indignation. Look at this. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. Now, this word means heat in the Greek. You ever remember when someone gets warmed up, you say, man, they're cooking, aren't they? They're getting warmed up. They're getting heated. That's what it means. They were heated. They were upset. It also means, has an underlying meaning of envy and jealousy, such as a jealousy of a man over his wife, maybe someone else paying attention to him, and that jealousy that a man will get, or vice versa, a woman too. That jealousy, though, that envy. They were envying what the... ties right in with what you were saying, Brother Jim. They were losing money. Their coffers were going dry. Or they saw a big decline in it. And also, they were losing power. And they were jealous. So what does that show us? It shows us their hardened state, doesn't it? It shows us the hardened state of their heart. Here God's saving people. He's healing people. He's casting out unclean spirits by his power through the apostles. And they are filled with indignation. The high priests and the Sadducees. The supposed who's who of Jewish religion. The ones who supposedly study the scriptures and tell people about God. Remember the Lord said to Nicodemus, art thou a master of Israel and know not these things? When he was talking about you must be born again. You study the scriptures? No, he didn't have a clue. Now, I believe Nicodemus, the Lord saved him later on. I do believe that. Because he came with Joseph of Arimathea and took the body of Christ. Thereby showing to everyone, you know, that he because normally he wouldn't do that. My, oh my, something changes him. It also means emulation. Someone who's filled with emulation and envy and jealousy. And again, it's all because of the supposed attention that the apostles are getting. But the apostles aren't looking to get praised, are they? They want you to give all glory to God, just like I do, right? And just like you want me to do when I preach, give all the glory to God. He's the one who gets it all. And here they're jealous. Oh, them apostles, they're getting so popular. They're stealing people from our congregation. Number one, they're not your people, they're the Lord's. Oh, my. Oh, my. Isn't it incredible? So it shows us here the hardened state of the heart of the high priest and the Sadducees. And that's the same hardened state we were born into. That's the same hardened state we were born into. Dead in trespasses and sins. And their hardened state, again, is manifest because people have been cured, devils have been cast out, and we see their character, their true character coming out in the hatred for these things that are being done because of jealousy and envy. And we can see in history, the history of these characters here showing the righteous judgment of God, if the Lord didn't save them, they were damned. They were damned. And if he didn't save them, they're in hell right now. My, oh my. Now we know there's some that the Lord talked to and he said, you're not my sheep. Where are they? They're in hell. My, oh my. Aren't you thankful God showed you mercy, beloved? Praise his mighty name for his mercy and grace. So this is the natural state of all men and women born of the seed of Adam. And that is a state that only sovereign grace can cure. Amen, eh, brother? Only sovereign grace can cure this state. And we all who are born again, blood-washed saints, are witnesses of that, aren't we? Witnesses. Because where would we be if the Lord hadn't saved us? We'd still be dead in trespasses and sins. You know, when you mention election, that God chooses people, Zane and I were talking about this morning. When you mention election, and I even felt this way when the first time I heard election, I said, well, you mean God sends people to hell? That's the first thing I said to the person that told me that. Why do we jump to that conclusion right away? Well, because of our pride, right? And at that time, I thought my will was stronger than God's because I thought it was my own choice that made me, you know, but I found out that's not true at all. God in his mercy saved my soul, right? My, oh my. Do you know all? What does God have to do for someone to go to hell? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Praise God, he chose us in Christ. Right? And we say, what does God have to do for us to go to heaven? Everything. Everything. All he's got to do is leave people alone. And they go headlong into hell. But a sovereign, it takes a sovereign act of mercy and grace to take us out of this. That's why the scripture says we become new creatures in Christ, beloved. We're taken from the darkness that we're in and translated into the marvelous light of God's kingdom through Christ Jesus our Lord. Born again by the power of God. It takes the power of God. The same power that rose Christ from the grave. Do you know this? The same power that rose Christ from the grave is the same power that regenerates us. Now think of that. It's an exercise of God's power, isn't it? Scripture calls it an operation of God. He gives us a heart transplant, doesn't he? We're made alive. When we're dead spiritually, now we're made alive. And we have a new heart now that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And as Brother Kevin prayed, this is the place where we want to be. We want to hear about our Savior. Tell me about the one who can keep me through any circumstance I'm going through. Tell me about my Savior. Tell me about the one who's the lily of the valley to me, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Why? Because he saved my soul. He saved me. Oh, my. Isn't it wonderful? God did that. And if you're a saved person, God did that for you too, and for me. How can we but not praise him? Praise God, he could have left us alone. But no, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But if it pleased him to just pass by us, that's his sovereign prerogative, isn't it? People say, well, God has an obligation to save me. No, he doesn't. He got an obligation to save no one except for his elect. Now, you say that, and people go, oh, I had a fellow, I was going through John 3:16. I told it last week, but I'm going to tell you. We were looking at the text, and he said, well, the whosoever there, whosoever. I said, yeah, what's it mean in the Greek, Wayne? I said, anyone? And he goes, see, Christ died for everyone. I said, no, what's the next word? Believeth. There's the elect. The elect's also in the whosoever, and the elect's in the believeth. Because only the elect of God will believe because of a sovereign, magnificent, amazing work of grace upon us, our hardened hearts. We were just like these Sadducees. And God did amazing work in us, didn't he? And we want to glorify him, don't we, sister? We want to glorify him for what he's done for us. We want to glorify him. We want to give him all the praise and glory. And one day we're going to see him face to face. Oh, my. My, oh, my, oh, my. So the Lord just has to leave man in a natural state and we'll go right to hell. My, oh, my. Paul, in the book of Romans, he penned that mankind does not like to retain God in their thoughts. And so what does God do for some? He just gives them over to a reprobate mind. Gives them over to themselves. My, oh, my. And then the cause of them going to hell is their own. My, oh, my. You ever think of that? Praise God for mercy in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. And like Brother Neil said one time, who are we to say who God will save and who he won't? We were talking one time. He says, that's God's prerogative to do whatever he pleases. And I'm like, amen, brother. That's true. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. Oh, my. He said, that's not fair. Well, I don't want fair. I don't want fair. Do you? Nope. Fair would be, we'd all be damned. I don't want that. No, oh, my. I stand up here and preach the gospel because I know God does the saving. And I preach, and I pray that the Lord will make it effectual for you. And if you're here and you don't know Christ, my prayer is the Lord will save you. And for God's people, that we'd be built up in Christ. And as the message goes out, I'm praying God will use it to draw in his lost sheep, beloved. He said he won't. We know he's going to do something with the word, right? See, preachers can stand up not in confidence in ourselves because we have no confidence in the flesh. But we can stand up in the confidence knowing that God's going to use us somehow. He's going to use it for his good and for his glory. Isn't that wonderful? But in no way does the preacher have any confidence in ourselves. No, I'm, my oh my. Lord puts these messages on our hearts as preachers, and we preach them and let God do the work. And pray. We pray the Lord will bless you with them. My. My oh my. And so we see the hardened state of the mind of these men. God's exposed their evil, depraved heart just by their indignation towards the apostles. Look again why they were thrown in prison. Look at verses 16 to 18. Look at this. Look what they here the apostles, they're going around, they're preaching Christ, they're preaching the forgiveness of sin in Christ alone, the resurrection of Christ, right, for our justification. Look at verses 16 to 18. Look at this. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the Sadducees rose up, and all they that were with him. Or then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. Cast into jail for just preaching the gospel. Just preaching the gospel. And remember, the high priest had told them, they said, don't you preach in Christ's name anymore. That's like telling a Christian to shut up and we're just going to talk more. Oh my! And again, Peter says, is it better to obey God or man? Well, God, of course, right? God, of course. And here, God's chosen people being delivered from the power of darkness, multitudes being saved, being translated into the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, multitude of sick folks being healed, and those vexed with unclean spirits having been delivered. And this absolutely infuriated, we see in the text, the high priest. It doesn't make sense, does it? Oh, my. So we see in verse 18, they sent some officers of the court to arrest our Lord's apostles, throw them into the common prison, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So the Jewish Sanhedrin and the high priest sent the officers in verse 17, to lay hold of the apostles. Now the Sanhedrin, they were the 70 top dogs in Israel religion. And the high priest would make the 71. They were the top. They were the cream of the crop of Jewish religion. Oh my. They were the most highly respected, the most influential, and thought to be the most spiritual. See, man looks at the outside, doesn't he? But God looks at the inside. Remember what Christ called some of them Pharisees? You're nothing but whitewashed tombs, vipers and snakes. My. I'll tell you what, they got filled with rage when they heard that. No one had ever spoken to them like that. They were reverenced. That's God speaking to them, isn't it? And here's his apostles saying, well, is it better for us to obey God than you? Could you imagine how mad they got? What? Who are these common fishermen saying this to us? Who are these common fellas? You ever been around people who think they're better than you? You ever been around people like that? Make you feel small? That's what these guys were like. They expected everybody to just practically worship them. Oh my. And they're supposed to be the most spiritually and godly men of the religious world, and they don't know nothing about Christ. Oh, and normally they were very tolerant of folks, but not with the apostles of Christ. You know, and how, let us not be surprised at that. How did they treat our Lord? Lord, so they hated you, hated me without a cause. They're going to hate you without a cause. Here it is right in our text, right? Right in our text. All they're doing is proclaiming Christ is the only Savior of sinners. That's what they're doing. They're preaching Christ. And in the Sanhedrin, they thought the temple belonged to them, but that was God's temple, wasn't it? This church is God's church, the people, the building, the land. This is God's. He owns this and he owns everything else, doesn't he? Like David says, we just get to lease it. Right? It's just on loan to us. My, oh my. We're thankful. And I love how you guys pray for the country, because keep praying for our country. It is incredible that we can meet in freedom. We can meet in freedom here and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many other countries, they can't do that. My. So the Sanhedrin, again, they thought it all belonged to them, but it was God's temple, and the angel of the Lord had commanded these men to go to the temple. In the place where God's name was profound, unfortunately, and preach the gospel there. Look at verse 20. Go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Go preach the gospel. Christ is the word of life, isn't he? He's the way, the truth, and the life. They're preaching Christ. And the leaders of the Jewish church, these guardians of the temple, would have killed God's preachers if they could. They would have killed them. But they feared that such an action would cause a riot or bring the wrath of the people down upon them. Therefore, because it was politically expedient to do so, they spared the lives of God's servants. And look in Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Look at this. And see the word skin there? Or the word beaten there, it means to skin, like skinning an animal. They were whipped with a cat of nine tails, which just dug into your skin and ripped the skin right off your back. Look at this. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, that's in the Greek to skin them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Again, they're saying, don't you speak that name of Christ again. Oh, my. Again, that Greek word means same word used to describe the skinning of an animal. So these men were brutally scourged with a whip. A whip designed to rip skin from their body. But look at the next verse. This is what blows me away. Look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer shame for his name. Their blood pouring off them. They're rejoicing. Praise God, he saved me. You ever rejoiced in your suffering? Not many of us do we? I'll be honest, it's a hard thing to do, isn't it? By God's grace we can, but it's awful hard. I think it's almost impossible for men. Because the first thing we want to do is start complaining, don't we? Let's be honest. That's how we are. But by God's grace, they left there. And by God's grace alone, they left there rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer these things for Christ. It's like when, I think it was Jim, somebody asked Jim about dying grace. He said, I don't have dying grace. And Jim said, well, when you're dying, you get it. That's true. When we need this kind of grace, we'll receive it from the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Oh, my. My, oh, my. And only the grace of God at work in a born-again believer, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, can produce this. Their bodies were racked with pain. They're bleeding. But we see their hearts were full of joy. My, oh, my. Full of joy. And they counted themselves worthy to suffer for the shame of Christ. They considered it a high honor bestowed upon them that God would allow such worthless, sinful creatures as they to suffer for the honor of Christ. They knew what they were. They knew they were just saved sinners. Peter had denied the Lord three times. The Lord didn't count it against them, but I bet you Peter still remembered that. You still remember some things we did? Some things we're ashamed of we did way back, even though they're washed under the blood? Just keep reminding yourself, it's all under the blood. It's all under the blood. It's all under the blood. God don't see it anymore. Now, the enemy will bring it to your remembrance. Washed in the blood of Christ, beloved. Oh, just keep reminding yourself when that happens of the blood. It's all, when I see the blood, I'm Passover you. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. Oh, my. So they rejoiced in their faithfulness, that God was faithful. They rejoiced in God's faithfulness to them, not their own faithfulness. They knew they were up and down like a seesaw. Listen to this. Peter wrote this. He said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So when you're going through suffering for the cause of Christ, give God all the glory. Someone persecuting you for your faith, pray for them, pray for their salvation, and give God all the glory. Give him all the glory. Now let's look at verses 19 and 20. This is incredible what happens here. This is just amazing. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to all the people all the words of this life. Now, we're once again here reminded that our Lord Jesus Christ is in absolute sovereign control. Here, these wicked men cast the disciples or the apostles in jail, thinking, nah, we're going to let them sit in there for the night and rot. We're going to let them think about it. God says, no, you're not. And not even the apostles knew this was going to happen, did they? Oh my, when I looked at this, I was just amazed at our God's sovereign power. He opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, some people get into who was the angel. Was it Gabriel? Was it Michael? You know what? That's irrelevant. That really doesn't matter. It was an angel sent by God, wasn't it? It was one of his elect angels. It was an angel of the Lord. It was his. God's in command. He's the commander in chief of all the angels. They all bowed before him, all the elect angels, and even the unelect, even the angels that fell. They say, we know who thou art. They tremble in fear at who Christ is. Satan, I was talking to my son this week about Satan, how he's just Josh even said, he says, he's just a created being, isn't he? He's not all-knowing. I said, no, he's not all-knowing. Not at all. Only God's all-knowing. He's just a, Sister Diane's brought this up before. You brought that up one Wednesday night, that he's just a created being. He can only do what God allows. And that's true. Now, we're no match for him, are we? No. But all those fallen angels and the elect angels are all at the Lord's command. You ever think of that? They can't do nothing unless he allows them. Remember them demons, they're trembling. Are you going to send us to the deep? In the Greek, that's the abyss. Are you going to send us to the abyss? Are you going to send us to hell? He says, you can go into them swine. Because the Jews weren't supposed to have swine, were they? And them swines, they go in, and what do them swines do? 2,000 swines go over a cleft and die. My, oh, my. He just commanded them. Go. My, how powerful is our God. So he commanded this angel, go and let him out. What's the angel going to do? Well, I'm going to think about that, Lord. No, 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 no. Yes, sir. At your command. And I think the angels rejoiced to do that, to minister to God's people. That's what the scripture says, that the scripture says this in Hebrews 1:14. Are not all ministering spirits about the angels sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Notice who shall be heirs? Not, well, I'm going to send you to this person because I think they might be a heir. No. God sends his angels to those who shall. He knows his people, right? He knows us by name. My, so this is, here's one of God's elect angels. One of those ministering spirits. To minister to the heirs of promise. One of those angels that excel in strength. As it appears, he opened and closed the doors of the prisons. They were all locked up. No problem for him. My, oh my. How do we know he opened the door? Well, it says there. You know, it doesn't say he just drifted into the cage, into the cell. It says he opened the door. Nothing. And shut it again, and it locked. How do we know? Because that verse we read that falls, right? He says, we went and found the whole prison all locked up and every guard standing there, and there's no apostles in there. Oh, my. And again, the ministry of angels lies in things spiritual and temporal, or what concerns our bodies and souls, in directing and preserving us in journeys and delivering us from outward dangers, in restraining things that would harm us and destroying our enemies. And they, some folks believe they carry us to heaven. My, could you imagine Sister Kathy being carried to heaven by angels, brother? Woo! My, Brother Joel? Whoosh. My, oh my! Your papa? Your dad, just whoosh. Both your dads, whoosh. Up they go, man. Isn't that so comforting? Oh, so comforting. So this angel sent in by God at night. So they're not going to have to sit in the prison all night, are they? Yeah. From what I've heard, I never went to prison. But from what I heard, you don't like to stay overnight. And here they are. Look at this. This is awesome. But the angel of the Lord, by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now they probably went. I don't know where they slept. They probably went and slept somewhere that night. He didn't have to sit in that old musty, rotten prison with rats running around and all kinds of folks in there. No. No. My, oh, my. And we see that this angel opened the prison doors where the apostles were put in. And other doors as well, because it's plural. Right? And opened the prison doors. So he opened their prison door. And imagine he walked them here. There's another door here. He opened that door up. Over here. Another door here. Open that door up. Over here. Oh, we're finally outside. There you go, guys. And all the while, the doors are shutting behind them, locking. What I want to know, and I don't know, is how they get by all them guards. God can do anything, can he? He can veil their eyes so they don't see nothing, and they're going right by him. I cannot explain that. But by faith, I believe it. Right? Oh my, this is amazing. And these doors were strong. You ever seen prison doors? They're strong. Especially back in those days too. They just had that old lock thing. But those doors were strong. You could rattle that door, it wouldn't even move. Man, oh man, I'll tell you what. But they were easily opened by an angel. Oh my. He opened them like they were nothing. And it was very likely at or towards evening when the apostles were taken. And therefore they were committed to prison again to lie in there all night till the next morning. Again, let's read verses 22 and 23. The angel, he must have shut doors too, as I said. Because look what it says here. This, oh my goodness. But when the officer came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety. The doors are shut. Every door is shut and locked with safety. Locked. And the keepers, the guards, standing without the doors. Everything is as it appears it should be. Okay? Except for this. But when we had opened, we found no man within. So they come to the prison door where Peter and John are. They open the door. There's no one in the cell. Could you imagine them looking at each other? What happened? And then to think, now we got to go back and tell them. Do you imagine the anxiety they had going all the way back there? Thinking, how are we going to explain this? So they just went and told them the truth, didn't they? And the Sanhedrin, just like anybody else would, says, what are you talking about? How can that be? Well, you know what we see here? We see God's sovereign hand at work, don't we? Oh, this is our King at work. He's absolutely sovereign, beloved. And you know what else we see? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you. No matter what you find yourself in, beloved, the Lord will always be with us. And he has promised that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Even if it comes to the point of death, he just takes us home. My, oh my. And then I believe we're more alive than we've ever been before when we get to glory. Oh my. Look at verse 20. Go stand. This is what he takes him out of the prison through all those doors. Doors get reshut, locked. Again, doors is plural in verse 19. So the angel led him right out of prison. And then verse 20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now again, note, beloved, that they were not delivered out of prison to go and run away, were they? What's the first thing a prisoner would do if you took them out of prison? They'd take off, wouldn't they? They'd run so fast to get out of there. These men, they do not fear, by the grace of God, the Sanhedrin. They were delivered out of that prison, not in order to go and secure themselves from danger. Nope. They were called to preach the gospel in the temple. And they were commanded to do that. They were commanded to do that. Think of this too. The temple is a public place of worship for the Jews. Right? It's their main place of worship. You have synagogues all around the country, but the main place of worship is the temple in Jerusalem. And anyone who lived in Jerusalem that could go to the temple would go to the temple for worship on Saturday. So where does God send them? Well, he sends them where his lost sheep are. He got sheep there, or else he wouldn't be sending them there. You know that? He sends them to the temple. You know the only reason I'm here? Because God's got some sheep here. That's what Norm Wells told me. He said, the only reason you're in Almont, God's got some sheep there. He may have some more to gather in, too. We don't know. But he's definitely got sheep here, doesn't he? Oh, my. It's amazing. So where better to go and preach Christ than the temple where he's supposed to be proclaimed? And the Jews meet there, so God sends them there. And they were to stand there with courage by the grace of God, not fearing reproach, not fearing the wrath of man, knowing by what had, even what had passed, that Christ is on their side. They were just miraculously delivered out of a prison by an angel of the Lord, sent to do that. So they go and declare the gospel to the people. Notice the people, the common people. Common people, just preach the gospel to them. My. The multitude, all who comes, let them hear, preach the gospel. That's what we do too, right? All who come, preach the gospel, and out goes the message, and still, the gospel's still being preached as the message goes out, right? It's wonderful, beloved, I'll tell you what. And who makes it effectual? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. He's the only one who can make that message effectual, whether it blesses you or whether it saves you. Because otherwise, my words are just words. But somewhere, like I love what Donnie said, somewhere between you and I, God the Holy Spirit gets a hold of those words and blesses your soul with them. Just like he does when I'm listening to a message. Oh my. And so they're to preach the gospel, aren't they? They're sent to preach the gospel. They're sent to preach the words of life. Listen to this in John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69. It says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? And a bunch of people had left the Lord. And he said, you're going to go too? You're going to leave too? He already knows they're not, because he's going to keep them, isn't he? But listen to what Peter says. This is wonderful. Peter says this. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then our Lord tells them, flesh and blood didn't tell you that. That's been revealed to you. Where would we go? If we have Christ, we have everything, beloved. If we don't have Christ, we have nothing. We may think we're something, but we're not. Remember in Galatians? They thought they were something, but they were nothing. Those false teachers. My, oh my. And those two verses point out that Christ and Christ alone is the only way to eternal life. Not by the law. No one can be saved by the law. No one. Not even by obedience to the law, we can't be saved. But simply because we can't obey the law. But there's one who obeyed the law for us. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he honored the law, didn't he? In our room and place. My, and his words are powerful. It's the means of quickening dead sinners and also of reviving depressed saints. Do we get anxious? Do we get depressed? Yeah. But he revives us, doesn't he, through the preaching of the word? Why? Tell me about Christ. There's enough trouble in the world already, isn't there? Tell me about Christ. This is a lighthouse, an oasis, a place we can come and rejoice all with each other. It's like finding water in a desert, isn't it? Praise God, he gave us a desire to be here. Praise God, he gave us a heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. My, oh my. So what comfort can be found in Christ for the saved sinner. He completely redeemed his people from their sins by the shedding of his blood. Completely. Like, we are completely redeemed. There's nothing needs to be done by man. Nothing. In this eternal life, the words of life can only be found in Christ. There's nowhere else. Peter even said, where should we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who can we go to? Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah. That's what he's saying there. Thou art the Messiah. The Son of the living God. In what joy. Now remember, they told him, don't you preach the resurrection anymore. What joy we can find in the resurrection. That God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ for us. That's wonderful. Because he rose, we're going to rise too. Oh my. And now the apostles, they're freed from prison. They're delivered by the hand of God through an angel of the Lord. They're bid to go preach the words of life, meaning the gospel and the doctrines of it. They're commissioned by God. Also, they're sent by God to preach the gospel. Right? They've been reproached. They've been persecuted. They've been thrown in prison for just preaching the gospel. And now they're still going to go out and preach the gospel. That's grace. God given them grace, beloved. My. Again, look at verse 21 of Acts chapter 5. And when they had heard, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. That's what they did. They heard what the angel said to them. They get up in the morning. They head to the temple. And they preach the very one they were thrown in prison for. Now think of this too. Would a hireling do that? Would someone who was not sent by God do that? They'd run the other way. You know, I've always said, if I ended up in prison, I'd just preach the gospel in prison. That's what all we preachers talk about, that. If God ever had us to go into prison, we just preach the gospel in there. Donnie Bell and I've talked about that. Well, we've got a prison ministry now. What do you do? Right? My, oh my. So we see by the grace of God that they were obedient to the command of God. And it's only by the grace of God. They've been delivered by an angel, which is miraculous. And they believed him to be the messenger of God who declared his will. And so when he said, go into the temple, they went into the temple. Like I said, he wasn't just sent to free him. He was sent with a message too, wasn't he? Keep preaching Christ. Keep preaching. And we're going to see through this book of Acts miraculous sovereign works of our great God in protecting his people. Keeping them. My, oh my. And even saving one who was murdering them. And saying to the man he was going to send to speak to him for the first time, saying, he's a chosen vessel. Do you know every believer is a chosen vessel? I'm looking at folks who are chosen vessels of God. Isn't that wonderful? Not because of anything in us? No. Not because of any merit? No. All because of the grace of God in Christ. My, we're so blessed, beloved. We are so blessed in Christ. So what did the apostles teach to suffer for Christ's sake? Well, they taught the amazing grace of God's sovereign grace, right? They taught that God was sovereign and that Christ was sent into this world to die for sinners. They declared the scriptural truths of the God's sovereign, unconditional election, electing grace in Christ. They declared the wondrous truths of his perfect redeeming work. Like, I mean perfect. There's nothing to be added to it. They declared the perfect perfect work redeeming work of salvation done by Christ for a particular people. How? By the shedding of his precious blood. Not only am I looking at chosen vessels, I'm looking at folks being redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you deserve it? Huh? None of us do we? That's what makes it amazing grace. That's why it's so amazing that God would show grace to sinners such as we. Mine. And then the scriptures declare the wondrous truth of the sovereign, irresistible, drawn power of God, the Holy Spirit, who gives eternal life. He regenerates us. We're born again by his power. He does this to God's chosen people. How? Under the preaching of the gospel. And then the scriptures declare the wondrous truth that God himself raised Jesus from the dead. And that's what really ticked off them Sadducees, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Imagine that. Here's the who's who. Here's the who's who of Israel. And they didn't believe in the resurrection. And Christ rises from the dead. And that's our hope, isn't it? The hope of our salvation is based upon the complete work of Christ and the fact that he rose from the dead. Because if he didn't raise, then none of us would be justified, because it says he was raised for our justification. So we can stand in the presence of God, accepted in the Beloved. My. That's what they preached, Beloved. That's what they preached. And that's what they were thrown in jail for. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Brother Jim, would you mind closing us in prayer?